So we're gonna talk about some things in terms of kind of a recap and some things, and then we're gonna do a worship set, and then we'll come back. But I can tell you that one of the reasons that I want to do it this way is a few weeks ago, you know, every once in a while you just pray a prayer that just zaps you, right? And we're on this journey to live in the union and oneness with infinite love. 10+ years ago, I sat down and prayed, God, I don't know what love is. Really show me what it is. And now it's like, God, I don't know how to love others. Show me what it is. And then I had this book fall into my sphere of influence, which I ordered, and I got it on Monday. And I started reading this book, and I feel like I'm on the road to Emmaus where Jesus is talking to me and my heart is just burning. And so that's kind of the backdrop of what's going on right now, is I'm just burning with so much inside of me that it's going to take months to get it all out. So you guys shall endure well.
Maybe 6 hours today.
Yeah, maybe six. But so what I want to do is just kind of recap a couple things, because as we move in the direction of over the course of time, beginning to learn to talk about trust and love and stuff, that's one of those second revelations. We're still working off the first revelation that was downloaded a few weeks ago. And so I just kind of want to cover a couple things. Then I put a worship set together it's going to ask you, I'm going to ask you to ask a couple questions of yourself. What am I hearing? What am I seeing? What am I feeling in that set? Because today we're talking about imagination. Wow. So this has been my road of late. I'm moving down the road with Jesus and I'm learning some things. And then I get this, I feel like I hit a plateau, and then suddenly I spring up and it goes like this. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm okay with that. Because whenever you think you've figured out God, you've got a lot more to learn. So he is like moving incrementally in me, but it's accelerating. And so I'm really excited about that. But we've been talking about, most recently we've been talking, and we spent a lot of time off and on in the last few years talking about God. Who is God? What is God? How does God relate to us? And we've talked immensely about his love, his goodness, his kindness. If God is good, and God is love, and God is kindness, and God is grace, and God is inside of you, what are you? If you're in union and oneness with God, what are you? All of these. You are all of these. As he is, so are we in this world. You cannot separate love, goodness, kindness, and grace from who you are. Because to do so would be to separate you from God. And how many know the great lie for the last thousands of years has been separation? There is no separation. So as we talk about God, and we've talked about him, we've talked about union and oneness. Union and oneness, those are all critical components of who we are. Which means, because as he is, so are we, everything that God operates in, we operate in. And that lie of separation has prohibited us over the years from fulfilling that. Because if I see God out here, then I can see him distinctly, loving, good, kind, grace. I can see these things out here if he's out here, but then I don't apply them to me. Or I think about all those things that I have to cast out to get to me. that old stuff. And so what God's been doing in the last year for us, or 2 years, is beginning to shrink that, or eliminate that whole concept of separation, so that all of these things we can go, that's me. That's me. I can be loving. I am loving. Not that I can be. I am. I am good. I am kind. I can. I am grace, so I can extend grace. Realizing that all of these is we're so intertwined with God that we can't separate it. Give me an example of something that is so intertwined you can't separate it.
I'm thinking of a branch that's been grafted in.
Okay. Into another plant or another tree or something? Yeah. Okay.
Or chocolate milk. I mean, once you mix chocolate with the milk.
Chocolate and milk, yeah. Chocolate milk. Sweet tea as made in the South. Right?
Say that again.
Sweet tea as they make it in the South.
Yes, sweet tea.
They boil the water with the tea bags, then boil the sugar in it, and it becomes so inseparable that when you drink it, it's sweet. And you can't distinguish the sugar from the tea. That's what our union and oneness is like. It's indistinguishable. And to the extent we pause at any point in time and go, God, that was really good of you. And we begin to see him as deviating or separating from us, we have to back up and go, no. That lie of separation, and that lie is just so strong. It's been ingrained in us from the moment we took breath. And we've been rebelling against that in a good way for years now as we've learned grace. Grace has launched us down that road to realize those lies don't control us any longer. And as that raises into my conscious awareness, I can begin to go, yeah, love, yeah, I'm loving, I'm lovable. And I love myself. And so we've been looking at that. And in the last few weeks, we started looking at vision. Proverbs 29:18, my people perish for lack of vision. Well, what's vision? We talked about that the last 3 weeks. And then we know from looking at the scriptures, God had a vision before creation. How do I know that?
We were in him before the foundation of the world.
We were in him before the foundation of the world.
Gold star, gold star.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's Ephesians. And when we were in him before the foundation of the world, we didn't exist in this physical form. We existed where?
What?
Spirit. And
in a different dimension.
In a different dimension. What always precipitates a creative event?
Thought.
Thoughts. We were in God's thoughts from before the foundation of the universe.
Ooh. That's why his thoughts are. That's why his thoughts are so many for us. Let me say that.
His thoughts are more plentiful than the sands of the earth when it comes to us.
Oh, wow.
What scripture is that?
I'd have to look it up. Remind me when we're done. And then he had a vision after creation. Now, the original vision included relationship, right? He created us for relationship. He didn't have to create us. He chose to create us. He chose to create us because he wanted to create us. And so in that regard, his thoughts about us are about relationship, about experiencing his love, about becoming one with love so we can share love with others. After creation, that original vision didn't change, but it had to be supplemented. Why? Who's online today?
Because Adam we need to be separated.
Yeah. So, darkness set in because of Adam. The concept of separation. Carol, go ahead.
Psalm 139, 17 and 18, about the best, some of his thoughts.
Read it.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If we could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. That's out of the English Standard Version.
Psalm what?
139,
17 and 18.
Here's the New Living Translation. It says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me.
Yeah.
When I wake up, when you're, I awaken.
Yeah.
When I awaken the truth.
When I awaken the truth. Uh-huh. See, this darkness separation, that's a lie. When I awaken. And when God shares a thought about you with you, how does that make you feel? It should make you feel awesome, right? Because his thoughts are always good. They're always kind. He's not standing there with the lightning bolt. He's not Neptune with that spear thingy waiting to hit you. And I just think that's so cool. And so he supplemented the original vision to now, let's get rid of the darkness. And by the way, that plan to supplement was there as plan A before the foundation of the universe. But he didn't release it then because he didn't need to release it until Adam transgressed. And then, after the great transgression, then he begins to convey vision of our oneness, which is what Jesus came to do, right? And in some sense, it's mind-blowing to think about we're one with God. Especially when we think we have to do something to make it happen. But you see, it was part of the original vision, and now it's being unwrapped. Gary, give me a vision that God has put in your heart about you.
About me?
Mm-hmm.
To uniquely display Him in this world with the gifts and talents that He's placed in me.
Hmm. And how does that happen?
By my allowing Him to live His life through me.
Okay. Gary just gave us a statement, a thought, an impression, a direction that God gave him. But it's not just about a letting Him do it, but it's about imagining it. How can Gary see what God has put in his heart? It's the imagination. And that's where we're going to go in a few moments. But vision is the act in power, the active power of imagination. So God's vision, there's a power that went with it. And it's called creation. He took what he saw, he imagined, he put power to it, and he created. And he created you and declared you good. Very good. With the expectation is part of his vision, his imagination is we were going to connect in union and oneness to the point where the sweetness and the tea can't be separated. The sweetness, the goodness of God, and our sweetness and our goodness become so intertwined, it can't be separated, except by a lie, if we choose to believe a lie. Because then what we do is we back up. The reality, the truth is, we're still in union and oneness, but I can live like I'm not. So we're going to talk about imagination, but imagination is part of the manifestation of vision. And the scriptures talk about imagination in a negative context and in a positive context. You can create a miserable life with an imagination that runs wild. My people perish for lack of vision. Then their imagination goes off into the world of weirdness and destruction, and that's what you get. And so realizing that imagination is an extremely powerful creative force that God has granted to us because we're in his image, right? Just like Jesus, so are we, and Jesus is highly imaginative and creative. We can take imagination and use it for evil, if you want to call it that, or we can use it for good. And too many of us, because of religion, because of the world, too many of us over the years went negative. And this whole movement right now of grace and awakening to the finished works of Jesus is to put the dial back over to the positive. So with that background, we're going to spend a few minutes in a worship set. And again, I want you to ask yourself, what do I see? What do I hear? What do I feel? And I'd like you to take some notes. If you want some paper, we've got plenty of paper. You need some paper? All right, let me step over here a minute. No, you can pause in a moment. You can pause recording and we'll pick up from there. So I want to start out by just saying to the people who are watching on YouTube, on a delay or on a podcast, listening on a podcast, we just finished a worship set. You can find it under today's date, March 26, 2023, on our YouTube page. I would encourage you to listen to it before you go on listening to the rest of this teaching. So I asked you to take stock of what did you see, what did you hear, and what did you feel? And someone on a volunteer to share what they experienced?
We have enough time.
We got all the time we need. Okay. Some of you are just undone, and that's okay. See, that's an experiential revelation of God and our union and our oneness. You can try it, Linda?
Yeah.
Okay. Speak loud.
Okay, the first song was I Want More of You, God. And I wrote down, no, we already have all of him. Mm-hmm. And the prayer is to awaken me to what is already there.
Yes. So I want more awareness. I want more awakening.
Because
yes.
When we say we want more of him, that indicates a separation that does not exist.
Good.
Because everything that he is already there. And then there was the one about gazing, and all he kept saying to me was that I'm gazing into his goodness that created me. Gazing into his goodness. And after that, when I get a note from Mike, and I won't read all of it, it just says, you exude goodness. So that just kind of tied that in for me, that's what I want to do. And then he said, the next one was about being wrecked. And it said, you wreck me every time. And this is weird. He wrecks me every time because his goodness is so good. And he gave me Mike, who tells me that I'm good. And that's his goodness to me, is this man. And then the one that says, he said to me that the promises that he made, he will see them come to pass. And his prophecy to me in this incident is goodness. And he said to me, you were prophesied over by Ed Lixey that by the end of March, you would experience and see the goodness of God like you've never known or could ever have imagined. And he said, it's almost the end of March. And your prophecy's been fulfilled because of this.
Interesting. Interesting. Cool. Anybody else? Yes, you want to share? You're welcome to. You don't have to.
The first song, I just really, I don't know, I felt like I could see myself. I saw myself like in nature, just gazing at his creation. Yeah, yeah. And I felt his presence with me in that. And it was just good. It was just peaceful. And the next song, like Linda, you know, it started and I was just like, no, I have all of you. I have all of you. And I just kept saying that over and over again as the song kept repeating. And so I felt tense because it was like, no. And then the next song, that really hit me. God has been speaking to me about beauty for a long time. And I know that that's a part of who he made me. And so that just spoke very deeply to the core of who I am. And just confirmed again that topic, that subject of beauty is something that it's true for all of us, but there's something in that for me that I need to release.
Yeah. See it.
And then
feel it.
The last song, honestly, was just I lived in Reading for 4 years and I was at Bethel, and I just felt myself back in like that song. I could feel where I was sitting. I could see all the people dancing, and it was just a good memory for me.
Good. Awesome. Anyone else before I comment on any of those songs?
I was undone I was made for gazing. I had never heard that. I had never considered that. And it just felt so right to me.
Yeah. Gazing. Another word for imagination. Yeah.
And the other things that I had to keep pushing away was, this can't be true. This is too much. That's where I go.
Yeah. And that's because we were taught the lie for so long.
Yeah.
But every time you hear that truth now, something expands.
Yeah.
This one. She's pushed me over the edge. This is my daughter, by the way. I don't know if I introduced myself as her mom, but...
And when she says she's an artist, and so beauty to her, she's just a beautiful artist. And every time she talks about releasing beauty, she doesn't even know that that's what she does all the time.
Yeah. Anyone else online or in the room want to share what you experienced? See, there's sight, there's emotion, there's a voice that says you're beautiful. I mean, that's all active part of imagination. Gary.
Yeah. Same thing that both of said, where you're talking about you can't have more of me. Oh, what I heard is you can't have more of me, but you can experience more of me. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. And the feeling thing was off the charts. The notes, the chords, the vibrations, the frequency, the light, everything inside of me was just vibrating with the fullness, of him. It's like heart-brain coherence. It's like when you connect, you just know that you're one with him. And I couldn't, that undid me. And I just couldn't can get over that. It's like that union and that oneness that's in you. Seeing thing was similar to what everybody's been saying. Like you're just sitting on a mountaintop and just seeing all of this, the universe, and seeing all this lush valley below, but knowing that I'm part of that and it's part of me. This set was good.
Good. Anyone else? Anybody online want to comment?
I have maybe an observation.
Sure. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm inspired when I come here. I do observe, and my walk with God is probably not as strong as anyone else here. But when I observe those songs and I see everybody, you know, weeping, it's an indication to me that they're healing from pain, and the pain that they've experienced in their life, whether it be a loss of a loved one, a disappointment, rejection, whatever it is. And I want to put myself in that place, and I just have a difficulty. And because I lost a son, and I lost a wife, and I had, you know, I've been through a lot, and Linda and I are together, and we are on that march together. And I'm really trying, and I hit these roadblocks. And in this last week, Linda's son, her best friend's daughter, died instantly of a brain aneurysm at age 33, with three little kids at home. Mm. And when you experience that type of a loss, you consciously or subconsciously wonder, okay, if God is love, and God is good, and God has kindness and grace and all those things, why do I feel such despair and such pain that is way beyond what even words can express? Mm-hmm. And I've been there. Mm-hmm. And that family is going through that right now. And that's my struggle. And I don't want to dampen the spirit here today, but that's my feedback. And I try with all my being to get through and to reach that, and I'm still trying.
Well, and that's a good place to be, to still try and struggle with that, because that means breakthrough is coming. I believe that. And those are excellent observations, and I think we're going to be coming more into addressing some of that in the next few weeks, just so you know. I've got some thoughts about that.
I guess my point is, if God is so good, why does he allow such terrible things to happen? And I know that there's an answer for that, but it's just hard to understand.
Sure, sure. And I'm not going to try to go there today. You and I can have a one-on-one conversation. I can share my thoughts on that. But I do plan to address some of that down the road. Anyone else? Got any thoughts? Carol, come up over towards the mic if you would.
I said likewise with Linda and Gary and others, that the song about, you know, more of God, I remember we used to sing that all the time, and when we were trying to pull God down from heaven. And I was like, it's different now. It's like, you know, like you said, more awareness. I mean, we have all of God that there is to have. We just don't have the awareness that we have all of God that there is to have. And then the next song, "A Friend Like No Other," that just jumped out at me, that he gets me, you know. It's probably the only person that gets me. He gets me more than I get me. But it was just a nice reminder. And then it felt kind of like I was in this dance during that song. And at first it was like, it was as if we were, that there was this, I was in this dance, and at first it felt like, seemed like it was all about how beautiful Jesus was, and then it seemed like it shifted, and it was like, oh, he was singing to me. And that was like, oh.
That was your imagination kicking in towards you.
Yeah.
Taking his thoughts about you and bringing them into your consciousness.
Yeah, and that gives me a picture in my mind that I can bring up anytime, no matter what's going on in my circumstances, in my outside world, I can go inside and know that I am still in that dance, and he still gets me no matter what.
It's good. That's good. So let me go here for a minute. I put the second song in for two reasons. Number one, it's a test of where you're at on your grace walk. If it drags you back to the negative, then that means your grace walk, you're quite a ways down. But if it also means you can convert it, like Carol did, to something more positive, then it also shows you you're on your way further down. So the first reaction of going like this, in face of that, that tells you your grace has taken hold, okay? But then when you flip it to, I just want more awareness. I want more awareness is a legitimate cry of our heart. Because like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and Carol and I were just, God, we're grateful for the season we're in right now, but there's got to be more. We're every time God begins to put in us a sense, there's got to be more. I know more's coming. And so I just start to cry out for more awareness, more understanding. And that first part of that song about fire in my soul, I've been living fire in my soul all week. So it's a, whenever you can take a song that we used to, you know, that we used to just embrace, then when we started down the road of grace, we started to cringe on. But then when we can convert it into a positive, that's showing you how far down the road you guys are. And I just did that for that reason. So besides the fire stoking me, you know, what can I say? There was a selfish component to some of that. But every one of those songs triggered a thought, an image, a reaction, an emotion, something in the spectrum of experience. And that's what triggers imagination. Because imagination is taking the component of vision, something that's inspired us, something that's hit us, and sometimes hit us hard, and began to imagine, begin to see, begin to experience what that looks like, and in our context, towards good, towards love, towards goodness. And imagination is so powerful. 2 years ago, we explored Malcolm's webinars, Malcolm Smith 331, 332, 333, which is about the parable of the sower, where he sows the seed and then he goes to bed. You know, that's in Mark 5. If you're familiar with that parable, the casting of seed with the expectation of the seed growing into a harvest is a form of imagination. He cast out there what was in his heart to cast out. And he trusted that the seed would perform as it was created to perform. And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about trust. And we're going to spend some time on trust, because the biggest thing that undermines our trust is the lie of separation. Is God really good? He doesn't seem like he's good. In this situation, he's good, but in this one, I'm not experiencing goodness. And there's a lie behind that, the lie of separation. I mean, God is who he is, and God doesn't change. How we experience God changes.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
That's very big. So if you got a Bible, take a look at Psalm 8, verse 6 a minute. This is a verse that says that God has a divine imagination. This is from the Voice translation. You ordain him to govern the works of your hands, to nurture the offspring of your divine imagination. You placed everything on earth beneath his feet. So God has a divine imagination. So if God has a divine imagination and you're created in the image of likeness of God, what do you have? divine imagination, which is creative in nature, which is energy, because related to every imagination are thoughts, and quantum physics has taught us that thoughts have energy. And so when I began to meditate on something that God has placed in my imagination, I'm actually releasing a creative energy force. Or if I imagine and meditate on something the world has put in there, I'm probably going to create a negative response. So imagination is not, everybody imagines. But do you direct your imagination? That's really a question.
So can you read it again?
Sure. You ordain him to govern the works of your hands, to nurture the offspring of your divine imagination. You placed everything on earth beneath his feet. Now, I'm going to leave it to you to determine who the you is. But I'm telling you, let me put it this way. If you're in union and oneness and there's no separation, who's the you? We, the collective we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me, and you. And then if you really want to get bold, you can start talking about quantum physics. It's proven that we're all entangled. And so in my entanglement with you, am I creating an atmosphere of love, goodness, kindness, and grace towards you, or am I standing in the way of that? I'm in one of those throw out the things for you to ponder modes today. Oh, take a look at Psalm 33, verse 6. The unfathomable cosmos came into being at the word of the eternal's imagination. A solitary voice in endless darkness. Oh my goodness. Let there be light. Came out of the Trinity's imagination. The entire cosmos is created out of imagination. That's from the voice. Sorry. Somehow I'm mostly in the voice today. Sorry. The unfathomable cosmos came into being at the word of the eternal's imagination. And I like that word. Somehow that word eternal has jumped at me this week, because it's like, it's a form of saying Trinity, but it's much more expansive, I think. Eternal. It's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in time, beyond time, and out of time. And it's like, yeah. And then in verse 9, it says, for he spoke and all things came into being, a single command from his lips, and all creation obeyed and stood its ground. We've been taught through religion that we are a secondary creation in a sense, as compared to God's plan and purpose. Adam and Eve might have been perfect, but then after the transgression, we all became secondary in the context of God. And that was just wrong right from the beginning. Wrong. You stand in union and oneness with the eternal, whose imagination is so vast, he can create, or they can create anything, but they want to partner with you. God has chosen to limit his creativeness by partnering with us. So I have to learn to extend my imagination out there for good. For good. Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 10, that Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Jesus went around healing. Can I imagine that? Can I see that? Can I experience that? 4 weeks ago, Papa declared this place, told me to declare this place a house of health and wholeness. Can I see that? Can I experience that? Can I imagine that? What does that look like? What does that feel like? What's the experience of that? And Carol and I were talking about it this morning. It's not waiting for the masses to come in. It's seeing them already here. Mm-hmm. And experiencing the life-altering sozo energy and love of God. And seeing them whole. And praising and just being in gratitude that it's already happening.
So we take a page out of Papa's book, Let There Be, and our prayer is, let there be help, let there be fullness. Just let there be what we see in our imagination. Okay, let it be that way.
Yeah. And then trusting
that is,
and trusting like the farmer that the seed grows. You know, the farmer plants the seed and expects a harvest in the fall. The distance between the time of planting and the harvest, we don't control. But we see it as finished. And in the context of what we're talking about, if you actually, wow, thank you, Lord.
Say that again.
Which part? The seed time and harvest?
Yeah.
You know, when a farmer plants a seed, the farmer goes, it says in that parable, the farmer goes to bed at night expecting the harvest in the fall. So the farmer doesn't get up the next morning and go dig up the seed and see if it's doing anything. There's an expectation. There's a trust that it will be completed. And that's what we do is when we activate the imagination, and we can choose to activate it or ignore it, but when we activate the imagination and we begin to see and experience and feel like Malcolm Smith was talking about in webinar 331, 332, 333, when that process begins to happen, the time between the release in our imagination and the manifestation, we don't control, but we trust in the midst of that. Does that help? Okay.
So is planting the seed, our imagination, that's planting the seed. Is that what you're saying?
When a thought comes in and it begins to formulate a picture in our minds, that's the planting of the seed.
Planting the seed happens in our imagination.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the concept or the word for imagination, the Hebrew word, let me take you to a scripture first. Actually, I took you to those scriptures. Hebrew word is yetzer, Y-E-S-E-R, and it's form, framing, purpose, framework, and imagination, a device. All of that comes together. So it's all about forming a picture, an impression. We have artists in the room and online, you know, artisans. You don't create out of nothing. You start with something that pops in you. That is the planting of a seed that imagination takes over and produces. Then you can begin to see the finished work of that. And then from the process of that popping up to the manifestation of the finished work, your focus is on bringing that to fruition. And that's part of framing or forming a imagination. All of that comes, especially in the context of right brain function. Most artists are right brain oriented. I live with one. You're right brain oriented. So, in that context, it's like, yay, it's going. And what do you see? What do you feel? What do you experience is all part of allowing yourself to release that imagination. You're giving yourself permission to experience. And as you experience, then imagination can take over. And I will tell you how Malcolm defined imagination here in a moment. And Malcolm's in his teaching on this, and others have said, the imagination is the place where you connect with Holy Spirit. So when you shut down your imagination, you're limiting some of the connectivity that you have with the one inside of you. All right, let's see definition here. He uses that Hebrew word. It's the place of forming, the place where you form, you fashion, you sculptor, you create, you embrace, and you let it grow into the context of your heart. And as your heart engages with it, life is released, energy is released to bring it to a completion. So when we're framing something, you know, the last song that we did was about the promises of God. Remember that? Sometimes when we're stuck, or sometimes when we don't know what's going on, we can take a promise and put ourselves in that promise, and it begins the process of imagination. Someone give me an example. What does that look like? Because Malcolm says your imagination is the playground of the Holy Spirit.
Looks like Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah. And he gives you a glimpse of what that is for your life, the plans and purposes he has for you. He gives you a glimpse of what's that look like. And as you start to meditate, visualize, experience, that's the work of your imagination. It's a great life verse, isn't it? The plans I have for you. Whew. So the Bible then implies or suggests that your imagination is the framing of your life. And Malcolm says what you imagine today is your tomorrow. And I'm using Malcolm because I went back and watched Malcolm's three videos again, and I was particularly impressed that he just brings it down to an understandable level. And I'm going to use others in the next couple of weeks. But you can physically feel what's going on because of your imagination. You can smell. Picture a rose a minute. And then experience the smell of that rose. And if you turn to Isaiah 26:3, oh, someone read Isaiah 26:3 a minute.
You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
And the word mind is the word, the root word in Hebrew is imagination. Keep your imagination stayed on him, on your union and your oneness, on this grace and his kindness and his goodness and his love. See, the scriptures declare that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can I imagine what that looks like? Give me one thing that would suggest that you've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, or that you want to see. Not a rhetorical question, looking for feedback. Give me one thing that you can imagine that would suggest the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living that you want to see manifest.
Health and wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you see what that looks like in your life? Mm-hmm. Can you experience it in your life? Can you frame the parameters of your thoughts to go, yep, that's me. Because I'm in union and oneness. Health and wholeness is my birthright. It's my association right. That's a good word. It's my association rights. That just sunk in, didn't it?
It's the totality of seeing but feeling also. What it feels like, or what you would feel like if instantaneously you were here.
Mm-hmm.
When yourself in that position.
Yeah. And here's the same verse, Isaiah 26:3 out of the Voice. You will keep the peace, a perfect peace, for all who trust in you, for those who dedicate their hearts and minds to you, their hearts and their imaginations. You dedicate your hearts and your imaginations to the one you're in union and oneness with. And then, I want to know more how that works, Lord. that's not a statement of separation. It's a recognition there's something in me, and I'm just not fully understanding how it works. And I want to know more. And so, I'm not sure how much more I want to go today, because I think I want to let this sink in a little bit. What are you guys hearing today? Let's go there. What are you hearing? What are you experiencing? Anyone in the room first?
Well, if we were watching the movie with Clint Eastwood, and, you know, he's just always been a heartthrob, and I didn't realize that he's 92 years old.
Yeah.
And there was a little segment somewhere I was reading that a reporter asked him what he was going to do now at his 92nd birthday, and he said, I'm going to direct a movie. And the man said to him, well, aren't you a little old for that? And his reply was, when I get up every morning, I just don't let the old man in. And I thought that was pretty profound.
That's powerful. That's an imagination at work. I'm not taking any of that. Wow, that's good. He's come a long way since Rawhide, hasn't he?
She still watches Rawhide.
But some of his best directorial work has been after 70.
Yeah.
He's just like really good. Anyone else? Carol, you got something?
Yeah. I just wanted to hear.
Okay.
So I think at my age, I'm not
going to
let the old woman in.
Yeah. I made a comment a couple of weeks ago that God said that age, I'll read it to you. Aging is a man-made concept.
Mm-hmm.
Aging is a man-made concept. I don't see myself. I do not see myself as 67 years old. I don't.
That's why I don't.
That's good, Mike. That's good. That's
somebody
good.
Said the other day that when they're asked how old they are, they don't respond with an age anymore. They say, I'm ageless.
There you go. Ageless. Yeah, that's good. See, that's the retraining of all that old negative programming. Yeah. Flipping it on its head. Anyone else in the room before I ask online?
I just think that that's a really good exercise, because imagining something allows you to feel it and to be it. Mm-hmm. And I know you've already said that, but it is. I do think that it's the way towards healing and goodness, all the other things.
Excellent.
That we want. If your imagination is good and positive, and if you're moving forward.
Yeah. And, you know, we can make a choice to reprogram our imagination from what we used to be to what we want to be. We can. It's a choice. It's a choice. What? Anybody else? What are you hearing? What are you experiencing before I go online? Hearing nothing, I'll turn to the people online. Stuart, Mark, Sharon, Daryl, Marilyn, you guys got any comments about what you're experiencing today, what you're hearing today? Stuart. Not hearing you, buddy.
Well, I do.
Okay.
I think about what you were saying earlier. Imagine I was thinking about somebody. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thinking about prophetic word. If somebody gives you a prophetic word, take that word and imagine that. Mm-hmm. Somebody in our prophecy group was prophesied a new address. I don't know what they did with that, but they did see that materialize. But, you know, think about it. If somebody prophesied a new address over you, imagine that. Imagine what it looks like to walk in to a new door to the house. Mm-hmm. And as you put your imagination, that's what brings that prophetic word. That's perfect. That is partnering with God. Mm-hmm. God spoke. You agree with it. you see it, you're partnering together to bring that into a materialization that's tangible.
Good. Good. Mark, Sharon, Daryl, Marilyn, anything you want to add? Sharon, you're muted, so you'll have to unmute.
I imagined that my cancer was no cancer, and that happened.
Yep.
And that was really, really awesome.
And that was just recently.
Yeah. It's great, real fresh.
Yeah. It's a great example. Mm-hmm. Mark or Daryl? Marilyn? Hearing nothing else, I'm going to bring it to a close with this. I want you to spend this week stretching your imagination. Stretch yourself. You see, in grace, we sort of got to the point where I don't have to do anything. But we forget it's I don't have to do anything to change my relationship with God. But God wants to co-create with me. So if he wants to co-create with me, it means I get to participate. And participation is doing something. Imagination is a good place to start. And we're going to put some more wheels on the imagination train next week. Papa, we just thank you for today. It's an awesome day. You've created us for such a time as this, and you've created us in the now. So in the now, we get to learn how to co-create, to participate with you, to change our lives and our world for what you originally saw it to be and still see it to be. Our imaginations are so powerful, Lord, that you've given us. As we learn to express our imagination and walk through that process, we begin to see and materialize all those things that you've put in our hearts for good. And so we choose not to see anyone in the flesh. We choose to see everyone in the spirit. We choose to see the goodness that you've created in people, even when they're acting not so good or ugly or however you want to say it. Because your truth is eternal, and we don't define them by subjective truth. We define them by your truth. And so we just thank you that you've given us an imagination that lets us see others in your truth and lets us see and experience the world in your truth as we shape it for the greater truth of love. Amen.